Call to worship is from Psalm 52 this morning. Why do you boast, O mighty one, of mischief done against the godly?
All day long you are plotting destruction. Your tongue is like a sharp razor, you worker of treachery.
You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking the truth.
You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue.
But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent.
He will uproot you from the land of the living.
The righteous will see and fear and will laugh at the evildoer, saying,
See the one who would not take refuge in God, but trusted in abundant riches and sought refuge in wealth.
But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever.
I will thank you forever because of what you have done. In the presence of the faithful, I will proclaim your name, for it is good.
From the book of Amos, chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile, and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon, and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it.
Well, good morning. How are you guys? Hi, Ileana, come on up. Plenty of room. Yeah. Well, you know, recently, one of my sons got married, and in preparing for the wedding and reception, we were looking through old photo albums, and we have a bunch of pictures when they were kids, and it was really fun to look at them when they were young and to be able to take a lot of pictures. And back when they were growing up, we always had to have a camera, and sometimes, if you forgot your camera, you didn't get any pictures. And now cell phones, you can take pictures just so easily and have them available. And I thought maybe this morning I'd take your picture. Would that be okay? Okay. So I'm going to take your picture. All right. Smile nice. Smile real nice.
There it comes. Well, that's a pretty good picture. I think it's a very good picture. What do you guys think? Is that good?
No.
Not, why not? It's one of me, but it's good.
But no, I must have goofed, huh? I wasn't really focusing on what I should have been doing, and I wasn't quite paying attention. And you know, that sometimes happens in our lives. We're not focusing in on the good stuff and what we're supposed to be doing. And sometimes we get thinking of other things and maybe focus in on the negative or the bad. And there's a story Pastor Zach's going to tell us about Jesus today. And he goes to a home of two sisters. And they are Mary and Martha. And Jesus comes into their home and sits down. And Martha, she's all excited about Jesus being there. But she goes and gets food ready and gets drinks and gets trying to get everything prepared and make everything perfect. Whereas Mary, she goes and sits down in front of Jesus and she listens to his teachings. And Martha gets pretty upset about this. And Martha comes into Jesus and says, "You know, Jesus, I'm doing all the work. You know, you should make her come and help me." And Jesus says something different. He says, "Martha, you're worried and troubled about too many things. Only a few things are important, perhaps just one. And Mary has chosen that one thing, and I will not take it away from her." See, Martha made the mistake of focusing on really herself, kind of like I did with my picture. I kind of was focusing in on myself there and not you guys. And sometimes we have worries and troubles and we focus in on them. And what we need to do is focus in on Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. And when we have those worries and those troubles, don't think about them, but think about Jesus and ask Jesus to help us through those times, okay? Now, we have a little echo prayer, and then, you know what, maybe I'll try and take the picture the right way this time. Okay, let's do the echo prayer first, okay? Here we go. Heavenly Father, help us to keep our focus on Jesus each and every day. Amen.
All right. Luke, chapter 10, verses 38-42. "Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her.' This is the word of God for we the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God." You may be seated. Lindy, would you pray for me before I preach? I feel really distracted. So if you haven't heard this week, there is a new amusement, a new diversion in our culture, and especially among our youth. And I myself have partook of it. It's called Pokemon Go. How many of you have heard of this Pokemon Go phenomenon? How many of you tried it? It got me up off the couch and away from my distractions from television or my computer or thinking of all the things I have to do. And this weekend, I got up off my couch and went on my walk and took my children and was hunting Pokemon. And I've already walked over 5 kilometers. So apparently there is some good in this. But I also heard this week that there's been some strange things happening, including in California. Somebody was so focused they were so devoted in their task of hunting Pokemon that they fell off a cliff and were taken to the hospital. So they were distracted from their environment, from being present because of all they were so devoted, but their devotion became a distraction for them. And I thought that was interesting when I heard about that. I was not injured while I was playing, and I did, you know, look both ways and look around, but it was neat to see other kids who were coming together, and they weren't just in their phones, but when they'd see another player, they would actually turn around for good, and they would start playing together and hunting in packs or groups. And I met one of the packs the other day of youth, and they showed me how to play better, and I learned how to save battery on my phone, so that was fun. But yeah, distractions, diversions, and yet we have this picture of wholehearted devotion, zeal, ardor, or ardour, how do you say it? Being ardent, with fire and inflamed in your focus. Today's text hits home for me because, as you know, or have begun to know me, I am prone to distraction. I'm like that dog in the movie Up, where it's like, squirrel! You know, there it goes. So I am easily distracted, as when I was playing the piano this morning and the music was flying everywhere and I fumbled around my fingers. And but I am devoted to Jesus. Now, at times, my devotion to Jesus can even be a distraction for me, because I can focus on Jesus to the point where I'm not concerned about what's going on around me. But Jesus was always focused on the Father and was in tune with the Holy Spirit. But he was always aware of the people around him, even to where interruptions were not distractions for him, but interruptions were opportunities to show his devotion to God and to humankind. They became opportunities for healing and revealing that the kingdom of God has come near. And we see these stories in Luke again and again. And here, let's dig into the text. Back to verse 38. It says, now as they went on their way, it says Jesus entered a certain village. That Jesus made a decision to enter this certain village. Whether that was on his itinerary or they were just in a village as they're passing by and they decide to stop. Because Jesus was attentive to his surroundings. Where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. See, Jesus is practicing what he's preaching. He previously had sent the disciples out in Luke, two by two, and to go and be dependent on the hospitality of others to share the good news that the kingdom of God has come near. So he's receiving their hospitality. And who is the one, the host that greets him? Her name is Martha. And she welcomed him into her home. See, in this moment, Martha is present and is wholeheartedly welcoming him in. And Jesus comes in. And Jesus also noticed, or Luke noticed, that she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. So he comes in, and here's Mary. She just sits right at his feet. And here's what we learn about Mary. She sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. Whatever she was doing, she stopped and she came in and gave her undivided attention to Jesus. Both Martha and Mary are people of hospitality. And Martha welcomes him into her home, as was the custom. But Mary goes a step further, and Mary sits at his feet. Now, this was kind of scandalous because Jesus, most of his disciples had been men. But a few were women, including, well, now we know that Mary, because if you sit at a rabbi's feet, you become a disciple or a teacher or a learner. And in those days, women were expected to do all the conventional, you know, doing of hospitality, cooking the meals, bringing them water, washing the feet, greeting them, making sure everything was in order, making sure everyone was well taken care of. But Mary comes to take care of a need for Jesus, who is this rabbi, a teacher. A teacher has a need for new students. And so she, in her hospitality, is present with Jesus and gives him her undivided attention. But what about Martha, who welcomed him into her home? Well, Luke tells us in verse 40 that Martha was distracted. By what? By her many tasks. Now, the word about tasks in the Greek is the same word we get for deacon. diaconia. Her ministry. She was distracted by her ministry, by her going about, by her work of hospitality. And doesn't that happen for us? That we can be zealous for God, but we can get so caught up in the doing of ministry that we miss Jesus right here in our midst. And that Jesus might have something new to teach us. We can be doing all these good things, like helping the poor. But are we sitting, so to speak, at the feet of someone else, our guest, or the one we're serving, that maybe they have something to teach us from their experience? Or are we giving them our undivided attention and seeing them not just as recipients of our hospitality, but as someone who can also be host to our guest and to their lives, that we can enter into their lives with them and be present and give them our undivided attention and focus, to focus on others just as Mary was focused on Jesus? But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him, to Jesus, and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." She's so caught up in her ministry that she's taking it all on herself. She wants help, but instead she's tattling on Mary to the teacher. But the teacher has something new to teach. The Lord answered her and says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried." Not only worried, but distracted by many things. And these things are the things of her ministry, the good things she's doing. But she's losing her focus. She's so caught up in the activities of everything she has to do that it's her way of being is not the same as Mary's. Mary is all in and Mary is completely present. She's all there. And she is open to Jesus. She's listening. She's learning at his feet. See, while Martha was distracted, Mary was focused. And here's what Jesus says about Mary. He says there is, or about ministry. He says there is need of only one thing, or what is best. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. That it's all about Jesus in our ministry. But not only that. It's all about being present with people in our ministry. Not just getting caught up in the doing ministry, but in the being in ministry. Being in the presence of Jesus wherever we go to share this good news that we've been given. I looked up distracted in the dictionary, and it says, having one, having the attention diverted, and two, this I thought was really interesting, being rendered incapable of behaving, reacting, etc., in a normal manner as by worry, remorse, or the like. That is to be irrational or to be disturbed. That when we're truly distracted, we're off our game. We're off center. We're not in the zone. How many of you are athletes? You know what it's like to be in the zone, right? And when you're off your game, you're just... you're not connecting, right? You're worried about something else that takes you out of the game. If you come to worship and all you're thinking about is what you have to do on Monday morning, you're out of the game. We need to give Jesus our undivided attention. And as we do so, he's going to help us give others our undivided attention so that they can see Jesus in us. And in the Greek, this word for distraction is glossed as this, to draw off from around, to wheel about, to be overbusied. You know, my grandfather used to tell me that busy meant, as an acronym, buried under Satan's yoke. That we can burden ourselves with all the things that we think are important to where, if we're doing too many things, what's most important? It's hard to tell. But Jesus says Mary has found the most important thing, and that is being present with Jesus. And this word for ministry, service, this diaconia, where we get deacon, it's service, it's waiting, it's attending to the needs of others. It's rendering friendly hospitality. But it comes out of being present with people. Hospitality is just lip service, and it's just things we do with our hands if we don't make the connection with the people that God loves and the people whose love that we will benefit from as well. Now, Mary, to be devoted, the definition for devoted is to feel or demonstrate loyalty or devotion, to be ardent, to be devout. Not only that, but to be set apart. When you're devoted to something, when you're devoted to Jesus, you are set apart as holy for Jesus, dedicated to Jesus, or even consecrated, set apart for a holy purpose, a holy ministry, a holy service that God has appointed you to do or to be. And the word in the Greek for listen has four meanings. It's kind of fourfold. It's to hear, it's to pay attention to understand, and to obey. It engages all of us. We hear with our ears, we pay attention with our minds, or with our eyes, we understand with our minds and our hearts, and we obey with our very hands and feet and our actions and our posture. So to listen is to hear, to pay attention, to understand, and to obey. That's what it means to sit at the feet of Jesus. It's not to be entertained or amused or to just behold, but it's to have your life be changed by being in relationship with Jesus. Just by being in his presence, Jesus has something to teach us. Now, Mary and Martha were both exemplary of what it means both to be a deacon in terms of hospitality, but also to be a disciple. And we shouldn't give Mary, you know, be too harsh on Martha or to be too harsh on Mary. Mary did have responsibilities, but she put, when Jesus is in the room, she dropped everything and was right there, waiting for her next instructions, waiting for what she needed to do. And I bet when Mary got up after Jesus left, the way that she was in tune with Jesus probably changed the way she did her ministry with her sister. In fact, that this ministry was significant because they hosted Jesus in their home. In that time, usually it was a male that was going to be the host. And the other gospel in John, we find out that Mary and Martha are Lazarus's brother and sister. But where's Lazarus? He's not here in Luke's gospel. So it's peculiar that Mary and Martha are hosting this party at their house. So they have something to give. They have something to bring that Jesus can benefit from. So women were not insignificant to Jesus. To the contrary, that women were integral and crucial for the ministry of Jesus. So we shouldn't look down on Martha because she had this great ministry to do. But we can learn from Martha and be aware of how we can be like Martha when we are too distracted with the doings of our ministry. On the other hand, Mary was not just a daydreamer who sat at Jesus' feet and didn't do anything. But Mary was so devoted to Jesus that she was willing to leave behind her previous ministry that she was going to do to receive her new marching orders as a disciple at his feet. When many women were not following Jesus, but Jesus would eventually lead many women in a time where rabbis didn't take women as disciples. So this is also something that we can learn from. So my question for you today is, are you distracted? Are you distracted by the cares of this world? Are you distracted by our insecurities? Are you distracted by all the junk that's going on in this world that we don't understand that makes us scared and afraid and fearful and resentful? Are we distracted by doing too much good? Are we distracted with having too many things to say or too many places to be? What if God could help you today through his Holy Spirit and through the Word of God to help you be more like Jesus and to be more like Mary in the story, where you are completely, wholeheartedly devoted to the people you are with in whatever you are doing? You know, there was this great, it's called Practice of the Presence of God, or Practicing the Presence of God. It's by a guy by the name of Brother Lawrence. It's like the Middle Ages. He was a monk, and he was very clumsy, and he was a cook in this monastery, and he always felt inferior to the others. But the Holy Spirit started to teach him how to practice the presence of God. And it changed the way that he was in the world. He wasn't distracted anymore with his own insecurities. He wasn't comparing himself to others, but he would devote himself wholeheartedly in the moment of what he was doing and being present with God. Or as in Colossians, it says, whatever you do, do it as if you're doing it for the Lord or onto the Lord. That's one of the ways we can be devoted in our ministry, in the things that we do for others and with others, but that we are wholly being present with God. Because Jesus always, through his Holy Spirit, gives us his undivided attention and love for us. So at this time, we're going to sing a song. God, we are so thankful for your undivided attention for us. We are so thankful, Jesus, that you are closer than a brother and you are the greatest friend we could ever ask for. That you're the master and teacher that's also our companion for the journey. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, your gentleness, your goodness, your peace, and your joy. God, do not let us be distracted today by the cares of this world or the things we have to do, but help us to be wholeheartedly devoted to you and to devoted to those whom we love and you have called us to love in our neighbors. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be devoted to Jesus. May no matter what you're doing or who you're with, may you be sitting at Jesus' feet always in your heart. And may you be open to the love of God for you and for your neighbor in whatever task or ministry God has called you to in that moment each day. Amen.